This podcast is brought to you by sarahraven.com, which is home to everything you need for a truly beautiful and productive garden. You'll also find great and essential gardening kit and stylish, lovely things to have in your house to bring the outside indoors, all inspired by the garden and the house being tied together. There's also plenty of garden inspiration, how-to videos and specialist growing guides. So head over to sarahraven.com today to discover even more. Welcome to Grow, Cook, Eat, Arrange, the podcast of me, Sarah Raven, and my long-term colleague and friend, Arthur Parkinson. Hello, Arthur.
Morning, Sarah.
How are you this morning?
I'm all right, thank you very much. It's a miserable wet day, but there's lots of things to be getting on with this time of year.
There it certainly is. So I thought what we would talk about this morning was getting ready for Chelsea. So just to explain to everyone, it's very exciting. We had a garden, a colour cutting garden, in association with Radio 2 in 2017, and Arthur and I and Josie and Caroline, who we do all our away day lecture tours with, and lots of others, Gary, who you've met on the podcast, who's our senior horticultural buyer. Anyway, we are back at Chelsea again this year, but in fact we have a trade stand, but we have managed to get a site that allows us a mini garden. Now, it's not a proper, you know, one of those amazing main avenue gardens, which of course is so exciting to see. And we're not in the marquee, but we're just on the outside, actually, between the two. And we've got a shed that we've been having built here over the last couple of months by a friend of my daughter's, actually. And it's the most beautiful shed. It's like, if any of you saw our colour cutting garden in 2017, it's rather like that Chelsea shed, but sort of a bit bigger and more oomphy. Anyway, Arthur is going to be very much in charge of the inside and a bit of the outside. So Arthur, tell us how you see the kind of inside and what we should be doing to prepare.
Well, what I love and why one of the main reasons I always wanted to work for you is because of bringing the home and the garden together through the vases and the range of beautiful things that you've curated over the years. So for me, there's nothing more beautiful than the idea of having the garden right slap bang next to all the beautiful products that we've got. Yeah. And so for those of you that might remember the colour cutting garden and the gorgeous fairy tale, I call it the fairy tale shed because it looks so Hansel and Gretel, this little shed that's now in the cutting garden at Perch Hill with its beautiful tin roof. And for me, being an allotment child, I remember those tins, corrugated tins, just used either to frame pig pens or poultry pens. And I think, Sarah, since that colour cutting garden, you've made these sheds quite in vogue because I wanted one to be made. And I received the most extortionate quote for one entirely cladded with old tin. And I said, I'm really sorry, but that's the kind of price that I should be putting down on a mortgage, not a garden shed. So we've had to bank that idea.
Yes.
But I think it's such a wonderful material. And we should really talk about Adam, because I know it's Adam's design, isn't it? The shed. He's worked with Rose's friend to create a bigger version, which is going to be a shop. So it's all natural material, isn't it? Tin and wood. And there's going to be even a water butt, I think, as well.
Yeah, there is.
So it is a shop come garden shed. You could literally take all the stock out and it could become the most gorgeous potting shed.
Yeah.
And that's the feel that we wanted, wasn't it?
Very much. And all pretty much, I think, very high percentage of recycled materials. So the guy who built it with Adam is called Armin Fiefer. He's a German guy who normally works actually on film sets and making sort of amazing sort of scenes for television and films. But he has a really good eye, and the combination of him and Adam, we've got this one, all these recycled boards over the walls and the corrugated tin roof and these lovely oak posts. And the amazing thing is I think of it like a sort of Wendy house for grown-ups because yesterday, having been built, Armin came here. It was in the barn, actually, where he's been building it over the winter, and he came and he took the whole thing down, and it's like a sort of kit that he can then put it all back together again, just like a Wendy
house.
Amazing. And so hopefully, having made it now, we'll be able to take it around other shows and things and reuse it, or even put it up here and use it here or at the nursery in Lincolnshire. But yeah, anyway, we really lovely to see as many of you as possible on the stand. And Arthur and I are going to head down here on it's sort of every other evening, probably, in the big purple van. And we're going to pick from the garden and drive back very early the next morning and dress it all again. And so we've got lots of things that we know we can reliably push to flower early for the vases on the inside. And so we've got a funny competition going on between Josie, who's the head gardener, Tom, who's in charge of the nursery in Lincolnshire, and Caroline, who has a greenhouse in her own garden, as to whose sweet peas are already tallest, that are going to be in flower for Chelsea and looking the healthiest and everything. So that's all really good. So we've got a good competition going on there. And they're going to be picked from here and taken up. And then lots of really reliable things like antirrhinums. So they were all pinched out yesterday again. So they're good and bushy. But we should wow. definitely have lovely flowers of them. And then the hardy annuals, because, of course, by sowing those in January, February, they're already looking really quite nice, meaty plants. So we've got calendula, Indian prince, and sunset buff, which are both beautiful. We've got the deep blue salvia, Salvia viridis blue Monday. I'm not sure we're going to get either melope or the scabious in flower, but we're doing our damnedest for that.
Are most of these things, Sarah, under grow lights at Rookery?
No, do you know, there are some in the nursery in Lincolnshire, but actually we're doing a lot of the growing here with Josie and Rebecca,
industrial polytunnel.
Who works with Josie in the garden here in the polytunnel, yeah. And what we did is we sowed, you know, early, but not massively early. And then as soon as they were ready to be pricked out into a 9 centimetre, they were. And then they've been transferred now into 3 litres, 3 little plants in a 3 litre pot. And so hopefully the roots are already coming down to the bottom, and we'll keep pinching and then we'll let them go, and hopefully they'll all be flowering away.
That's interesting that you're still pinching out. A lot of people would probably think you wouldn't pinch out because you want the flower to form quicker.
Yeah.
So you're still pinching.
Yeah. And I mean, so it's a slight difference how we're treating the plants that we're going to put out in the garden to pick for the vases for Chelsea as to the ones that we're actually growing for the mini garden on the two sides. And with those, we will go on pinching, to be honest, till the beginning of May, because we really want to hold them back and keep potting them on. And so they've got a really meaty root, and then we'll let them whoosh up and hopefully be covered in flowers. So they're the ones for the garden. Whereas the ones for outside, we're pushing them on, but they will go out because they're all hardy annuals. We'll start putting those out under polytunnel, you know, little extendable cloches, sort of end of March, beginning of April, and we'll take them, you know, any protection off them altogether by the middle of April. I mean, obviously, depending on what the weather does, it's only going to get better, Arthur. But yeah, it's quite fun doing it. And in a way, because it's not competitive, you know, we're just doing it to make it look lovely for us and all our customers. So, you know, if we happen to have one antirrhinum, not three, or one of the calendulas, not both, or whatever. It doesn't really matter because we've grown enough that it's going to make a fantastic show. And oh, and honeywort, cerinthia, of course, very, very easy to get in flower for the second or third week of May. So that will be another lovely one.
Yeah, it'll just be like a gorgeous medley jewel box of all your favourite classics. That's how I'm imagining it.
Yeah.
And a few, I know there's been, I think we are having cabea, aren't we? Because even if it's not in flower, we're going to use it to scramble up the shed.
Yes.
Yes. In readiness.
So we had one on the east facing side of the farmhouse here, actually in a big pot. So we brought that in last autumn into the greenhouse, and it is already definitely starting to grow off. It's got some new season growth. So Josie and I had a look at it yesterday, and we're going to put it on some silver birch, just sort of quite willy-nilly to get it up to a height that we can then train it over the roof. It may not be in flower, but it's still an elegant plant, you know. Even
so, you've kept it alive from last year.
Yeah.
Josie dug it up out the cutting garden.
Well, it was actually in a whopper pot anyway. We just bought the pot in. Yeah.
Okay. So everybody at home could do that with their cabea.
Absolutely. The first year I had the greenhouse here, when I was desperate to get something to clad the wall, I actually grew kabeh inside in the back border in the greenhouse. So the sort of south-facing border, but inside the greenhouse. And it became, of course, because it's a tender perennial, and I was quite careful to just leave a door open out to the greenhouse to keep it above sort of -2, -3 when it was a really cold night. And it turned into this absolute jungle. It covered the whole wall. And I remember that from my parents' garden, actually, when we had mild winters, they overwintered kabeh. So yeah, you definitely can. It's a perfect conservatory plant, but you do need to cut it back and replace it, because otherwise it becomes a sort of crazy bird's nest. Almost like those Clematis montanas or whatever.
Gets an untidy bottom, doesn't it? So
exactly.
Cutting back. And would you mulch it in the greenhouse as well?
Yeah, I think I would. Yeah. I mean, we fed ours because it was in a pot. And then the other thing that's looking really likely to be in flower is another of our absolute sort of top 10 favourites here, which is Petunia Tidal Wave Red Velour. So again, we sowed that quite early. We sowed that in February. And that is already beginning amazingly to really start to shoot. And even what looks like some little bud shoots forming. So again, we're pinching that back. We've put three plants again in a long, skinny zinc, a couple of pots that we can put at the entrance, one of the entrances to the shed. And I have high hopes for that. And I also actually, I had a good look around this weekend, and I also have high hopes for quite a lot of the pelargoniums.
Beautiful.
And there's a really lovely story about one, which was one of my favourite pelargoniums, which you know well, Arthur, called Tormentosum, which is like felted, amazing silvery leaves that smell of peppermint. And that was a chance hybrid, sort of did a chance crossbreeding with one that we think is called Papilacium, which is a very, very early flowering pelargonium in amazing greenhouse of Lord Cavendish at Hooker. And he gave me a plant because he thought I'd be interested of this hybrid. And we've managed to propagate quite a few of it. And it has these fantastically fragrant, huge felted leaves, but then these rather amazing, slightly butterfly, but quite early flowers. So it's a brand new hybrid, which we're trying to name as Lord Cavendish, but it's really splendid. And I was noticing that that's already really growing away vigorously. So I'm hoping that that may give some sort of almost like lily pad-like architecture and structure between all the flowers in these beds. And as people brush past them, they will release their delicious scent.
Beautiful. It's so nice to think that we're doing a stand that's just real plants, because what I've noticed is this plastic flower invasion, which I'm allergic to.
Yeah.
So I love the idea of us presenting a living garden as a shop.
Yes. And also that we're not putting things in freezers, and we're not putting things under massive heat. We're just tweaking their flowering time by, you know, 2 or 3 weeks by just having them, you know, they are on a horticultural electric blanket in a polytunnel, but that's it. We just, you know, by concentrating on them and looking after them. Well, I mean, we may arrive and it's all green and there's not a single flower to be seen, but I don't believe that will be true. Ever the optimist, I think it'll look really fabulous, just very small, and we mustn't get everyone's hopes up. This is a garden that's sort of, one of the borders is maybe 3-4 meters long by 2 meters wide, and another is less. It's 1.5 meters wide and sort of 2 meters long. So it's tiny, but it's almost like you can easily have as a mini front garden. And one of the things that I've really challenged myself with is thinking about small urban spaces, because with more and more of us living in tiny spaces, well, like you, Arthur, both your gardens, I mean, what sizes are both your gardens? I know you've got two.
They're footprints of the shed, really. I'm looking out at one, and annoyingly, the one I'm looking at is, I call it the slab garden. Every year we try and take another row of slab up.
Oh, yes.
But yeah, I mean, it would fit into my garden very, very nicely, actually.
And I think it's good.
If you want to see it, there's a wonderful illustration of it actually in the summer catalogue that has by now arrived with a lot of customers, but you can view it online. It's on page 3
Oh, great.
The summer catalogue, a lovely drawing.
Oh, great.
And so the shed, I'm presuming, arrives first at Chelsea.
Yes.
So that's probably in situ for the best part of a week, isn't it, before we arrive, just to make sure everything's shipshape and stable with that.
Yeah, exactly. And then we all arrive. So Armin will be there setting that up with Jemima, who's in charge of everything. And then Adam and Caroline, you and I, and Josie and Rebecca all arrive on the Thursday before Chelsea starts. And so we're there for a couple of days, sort of making it out, both the garden and the shed, and putting all our stock and just making it look lovely. And then you and I come down to perch and pick and head up on the Sunday with all our first harvest. And then, as I say, every other day we'll replenish it, because you never know with Chelsea, it can be freezing and wet or it can be baking hot. The year we were there in 2017, gosh, we were spending hours watering. It was so, so hot.
Yeah, it really was. A lot of preening and topping up of vases and all the things that make it lovely. And I mean, we'll mention Jemima, bless her, because she's been selecting all lovely stock that is handbag stock, I call it, things that you can carry around the show and you're not lugging around. So we've really created a wonderful tidbit selection of all our favourite things. So it's going to be so nice to see it come together like a lovely magpie's nest of jewels.
Yes.
And I think on the Sunday, when they ring the bell for the plant sale, we'll be giving the plants away, won't we?
We will some, but to be honest, because we've got the new greenhouse here that's looking rather sparse.
Probably all going back to you.
I think we are going to bring the purple van up. So there will be some and some, but some of the plants are going to come back here to then go straight into the new greenhouse, which will need a little bit of dressing, I would say. Anyway, that's going up as we speak at the moment too.
Yeah, that deserves its own conversation, probably with Josie.
Yes, we must, actually. Yeah. That's really true. We must talk about that. Anyway, lovely to chat, and it would be very nice to see as many of you as possible if you're coming to Chelsea anyway. And Arthur will be there all day, every day, I think, pretty much.
Yeah.
And I will be there almost every day and almost all day. Good. All right. Well, lovely to chat, Arthur.
Yep. See you soon, Sarah.
Thanks so much for listening to what Arthur and I are hoping for and planning for Chelsea. Next week, it's back to us again, and we're actually going to be at Chelsea, and we're going to tell you what we feel are our favourite things, the real highlights for us individually at the Chelsea Flower Show. So join us then. You can find more information, photos and advice sheets on all the plants and recipes we talk about on this podcast by heading to the show notes or at sarahraven.com/podcast.